today as we come to the table.
Why do we have such a hard time finding people that will really do a job and do 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay? And by the way, Christians, if we're getting paid for 8 hours, are we doing 8 hours of work? There's nothing wrong in having a cup of coffee or a quick discussion. How many times have I heard people say, hey, they stand around the office, they're getting caffeine elbow, and I need work that needs to get done. There's nothing that's happening here. They seem to discuss more about the issues of life rather than saying, let's get down to business and get the job done. And we need to be the ones that do that more than anyone else as believers. But again, I look at the difference between the generation before us and this generation and what has happened. I think that we have a generation of playtime and leisure time in America today.
Laban, Jacob's father-in-law, wasn't a believer, but he did have the sense to recognize a good thing when he saw it. Actually, it was Jacob and Laban didn't want to lose him. Want to know why? It comes down to two words that Pastor Mark explains today as work ethic. Did you know that how well and hard you work is a testament to the name of Jesus? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Take a moment to reflect about what your work is saying about you. Whether you're working remotely or physically driving to your workplace, what you do and how you do it is noticed by others. Don't think for one moment that a good work ethic doesn't matter. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 30 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 30. Let's read it together. We're going to be starting in verse 25 and finish up chapter 30 today. So let's read it together before we look at it in more detail. Notice it says, "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know that my service which I have done for you.' And Laban said to him, 'Please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake.' And then he said, 'Well, name your wages and I'll give it.' So Jacob said to him, 'Well, you know how I have served you and how your livestock have been with me, for what you have had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount, and the Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house?' And so he said, 'Well, what shall I give you?' And Jacob said, 'You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me.' And Laban said, 'Oh, that it were according to your word.' So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob led the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled the white strips in them, and exposed the white that was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. And then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys." Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage today. And God, as we look at the Christian work ethic, and the reward that you give for that. Lord, I pray you bless the teaching of your word. Father, I thank you that your word is not only spiritual, but it is practical as well. And I pray that you would convict us as believers in a very practical measure, that we need to be those above all who have a high work ethic in today's society, where that seems to be lacking in so many places. And Lord, let us not only do it as unto you, but let us understand and learn that it's something we need to do as a testimony unto Jesus Christ in a world that needs to see why we are different. And Lord, let it be for your glory. God, teach us now by your Holy Spirit and open your word to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting. The Bible is a very spiritual book, but it's also a very practical book. It doesn't just give us ways to get reconnected to God in spirit and the way we're supposed to live in spirit. And we live in this world. We have spiritual connection to God, but we have physical bodies that we live in. And God expects us to conduct ourselves in a physical way that reflects the spiritual truth he wants us to live by. And I think one of the things we're going to look at today and that we're going to see in Jacob's life is it is extremely important for us as believers to have a strong work ethic, a good work ethic. Now, what is exactly a work ethic? Well, let me give you the definition of what a work ethic is. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, work ethic is this. Work is, first of all, physical or mental effort or activity directed toward the production or accomplishment of a project. Ethic is a principle of right or good conduct or a body of such principles. So in other words, when you put the two together, here's what a work ethic means. It means physical or mental effort or activity directed toward the production or accomplishing of something using right and good conduct. We might sum it up by saying it means getting something done and doing it with a right attitude. And that is exactly what God calls us to do as believers. Now again, the Bible tells us that we above all as believers are to be diligent in our work. And when we're diligent in our work, God rewards us. And we're going to see that today. Jacob is diligent in his work and God brings a reward for the diligence that Jacob does. Now again, when it comes to diligence, you know, there's a lot of things that we can accuse Jacob of, but a lack of diligence is not one of them. But I think that a lot of times in the Christian community, and especially today, there seems to be a lack of diligence oftentimes in many circles. I've heard things such as this, I'm waiting on the right job or I'll keep applying because no one's paying me enough. Now, I know that there is a delay in time when it comes to getting work. When we first came here to Knoxville, it took me probably a month to find something, a job, interviewing, going everywhere and finding a job. There's a limited amount of time that's expected when it comes to getting a job. But there comes a point where you cross over where, you know, now it's not a matter of not getting a job. Now it's a matter of, look, get something. You need to get going. And if you'll just get going, God will reward you and get you directed. And we're going to find that Jacob today basically, well, in reality, had nothing to start with. But because he was faithful and did what was before him, God blessed him and God blessed his work. And there's a lesson in that for us. Whether we have a lot or whether we have a little, we need to start right now with what we have and work as unto the Lord and be diligent, and God will be faithful to bless us. And so, again, we're going to see this in this passage today. Now, again, the Bible tells us that we're to be hardworking and we're to be diligent. Paul himself set this example when he wrote the Thessalonians. He said for in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 7 through 9, he said, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge. Note this, but he says, we worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but we make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. I think the worst testimony a Christian could have is that they're lazy. We above all need to be those who are seen as being diligent. And again, I have to say this, if there's one thing I've noticed in recent years in America, and this is where we have to be different. We have to be different than the normal workforce of America because we're representing the King in heaven, not just as a good work ethic before God, but as a testimony to the Lord. And we're going to see Jacob is used as a testimony to Laban in this passage today. But I've noticed in recent years, and those of you, you know, that have been around the workforce, and probably all of us could notice this if you've ever tried to hire somebody for a job, in recent years, the American work ethic has declined dramatically. And my slip of the tongue there when I said the worth ethic, that actually goes right with it. Because as our work ethic goes down, so does the worth ethic. And that is, they used to have a saying, and maybe you've heard the saying, the man's not worth his salt. They used to pay people in salt back in biblical days. It was very valuable in that day for a number of reasons. But a lot of people today, I believe, are not worth their salt. And sadly, a lot of Christians aren't worth their salt either. It shouldn't be that way, especially since we're the salt of the world. We should be showing the salt more than anyone. And again, when I talk about this work ethic, what do I mean? Well, it has gotten so bad in some instances that if you're an employer, you may have experienced this, that anymore in our day, employers are not so much worried whether their employees will do a good job, but whether they'll even show up. It is so hard to get people to really do what they'll say. And I remember even as a child, when I was younger, if people didn't show up for work, they at least called and told you why. Today, people don't show up and you don't even get a phone call. They'll just basically disappear. And so it's interesting. There seems to be a problem with people that work and especially in our day as well. And again, I want to say, why is that? You know, it's interesting. The generation before us, the World War II generation, really maybe a couple before us, but you know, they're known as the greatest generation in America's history. And there's a number of reasons for that, not just the war, but one of the things that stands out about that generation is their work ethic. They were hard workers. And again, I look at that and I go, why were they such hard workers? Probably the seriousness of the day, probably the responsibility of a nation at war and a job that needed to get done. And again, there was a different viewpoint about the responsibility in work, I think, even than we have today. But I look at today's generation, I think, Lord, why is there such a lower standard in work ethic? Why do we have such a hard time finding people that will really do a job and do 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay? And by the way, Christians, if we're getting paid for 8 hours, are we doing 8 hours of work? There's nothing wrong in having a cup of coffee or a quick discussion. How many times have I heard people say, hey, they stand around the office, they're getting caffeine elbow, and I need work that needs to get done. There's nothing that's happening here. They seem to discuss more about the issues of life rather than saying, let's get down to business and get the job done. And we need to be the ones that do that more than anyone else as believers. But again, I look at the difference between the generation before us and this generation and what has happened. I think that we have a generation of playtime and leisure time in America today. And I think we see a lot of things. Again, there's nothing wrong in computers and an occasional video game or an appropriate movie from time to time. But the bottom line is I think we're becoming inundated with entertainment and sitting around, and it's creating an environment of slothfulness. You know, again, in older generations, you know, the children working around the home, and I mean, they worked the farm. They didn't just work around the home. I mean, at young ages, they were driving the tractor and bringing in the crop. Today, you can't even hardly get them off the couch to help sweep the kitchen. And something has happened. Why is that? Because our work ethic has dropped. And let me say this. I don't want to just pick on our kids in this generation. I think it's up to us as parents to teach them to have a good work ethic. You know, to teach them to be responsible, to say, you know what? There's work to be done. And we're a family. And if we teach it within the home, what's going to happen? They're going to learn it out in the society. You know, our girls are like anyone else. You know, they hear other kids saying that they don't have chores, and our kids do have chores. We give them chores. And I've heard before, well, other kids don't have chores or whatever, you know. And again, I think that it's healthy for families to have chores for children. It's very healthy. Now, the kids aren't going to like that, especially if you haven't done it for a long time and now you introduce it. But at the same time, it teaches them that, you know what, work is a part of being a part of the family. It's not something, and also parents don't feel like you have to pay them every time they do something. I find with this generation as well, it's like, well, I did this, where's my money? Wait a minute. We're a family. Families work to help each other. You don't get paid for doing what is expected. And so I think it's our responsibility as parents and as leaders to remold and shape the mind of our children. Now, there's nothing wrong in having them get paid for a job every so often, and whether it's an allowance or whatever the case might be. But when it comes to making your bed, you know, your hand shouldn't be out for that one. Make your bed. No, I'm not giving you a buck. You know, it's funny. Our kids get really smart. My girls, you know, with the whole tooth thing, they lose a tooth, you know, and they know that we put money under there. It was funny. One time, one of my girls put her tooth under the pillow, and she had, you know, worked really hard. She cleaned it and made it really nice, you know, hoping she'd get the full value she could out of the tooth, and she put the tooth under her pillow, and the next morning she got up and she was real disappointed, and it was like, honey, what's wrong? She said, this tooth is worth more than that, you know? So she cleaned it up more and put it back under the pillow the next night, and we gave her more. It was too cute. But the bottom line is that, you know what? I understand that's a childish thing, but we need to make sure that, you know, we're not afraid to work for what we get, and a lot of it is because we have an affluent society. And we also have this attitude of, you know what, I don't have to work very hard to make a lot of money. And sometimes I don't even have to work at all. I just need to show up and get my check somewhere that other people paid in their tax money. And there's an epidemic in our country of I think, laziness, slothfulness, lack of diligence. Now, why do I say that? Because again, I don't think it's hard to point that out as we understand as Christians, but we must be different. We must set ourselves apart. If we're the only one at work that's, well, everybody else is standing around and drinking coffee and talking and not doing anything, then you know what? Let them do that. They're not. You're answerable to God for what you do. And you know something? If you're faithful to do what God has called you to do, God will promote you. The Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but it comes from the Lord. God will reward you for your hard work. Do it and be faithful. And again, not just as far as for employees go, but even providing for our families. It's interesting. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, if anyone does not provide for his own family, or rather for his own, and especially of those in his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Note that. Not only denied the faith, but he says, you know what? Even worse than an unbeliever. And unbelievers, you know, you see, you expect them maybe to not do what they're supposed to do. But the Christian is worse than an unbeliever if they're not responsible in their job. Why? We have a greater accountability level. We know what the Word of God says. We know we're supposed to be diligent. And we know we're supposed to be doing the work that God has called us to do. And I have to say this, you know, I think that that's something that is learned as well over time. We come to the Lord, God begins to work in our life and begins to make us responsible. And then we begin to grow in that area. Jacob understood the need to be responsible before God, but he also understood the responsibility that he had to his family. You see, Jacob had worked 7 years for Rachel. You remember where we are up to this point. 7 years for Rachel, but he had to work another 7 years for Leah because he switched wives. Laban switched wives there and did the old switcheroo and made him work 14 years. And so now he's put in 14 years to pay his debt off for these two wives. And we're going to see this week, he says, all right, I've worked real hard for these wives. But you know what happens with all these wives and all these children? Somebody's got to pay the bills, right? And Jacob comes to the point where he says, you know what? I've got to be responsible here. I need to provide for my family. I need to start thinking a little bit about the future because it's all been going into someone else's pocket. And again, it's not bad that he was a blessing to Laban. I'm glad he was a blessing to Laban. And I think we should be a blessing to our bosses. We should be the greatest blessing, the Christian should be, of anyone on the workforce. But at the same time, we need to also provide for our families. And we're going to see today that Jacob realizes the need to provide for his family. Now, let me say one last thing before we jump into this passage, and that is this. Not only should we work well for the unsaved boss, but you know what, as Christians, just because our boss knows the Lord doesn't mean now we have excuse to slack off. As a matter of fact, I think we need to be as much, if not more, responsible. We're working for a brother in the Lord. And I think sometimes there seems to be this attitude, he's a brother, he'll understand, don't worry about it. And you see people sometimes, and I've heard guys, they share, you know, well, I didn't get as much done today at my workplace because I was sharing Jesus so much. Well, I'm glad we're sharing Jesus, but you've not been paid to share Jesus. If you work in a church or you work in a ministry, you're paid to share Jesus. If you don't, you're paid to do what your boss paid you to do. Now, in the midst of that, God will open up doors to share the Lord, won't he? I've worked in secular jobs before I came on staff here, and God gave me opportunities to share with my boss and those that I work with, but I didn't stand around all day having theological arguments with them. I was paid to do a job. And so we need to make sure that we're doing what we've been paid to do. So that's exactly what we see Jacob today. Even though he's treated very unfairly by his boss, we see that Jacob took it very seriously and was very responsible. And by the way, one of the first things to note is even if you have a boss that doesn't treat you right, like Laban, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Why do we work hard in our job? We do it as unto the Lord. Notice verse 25. And again, you remember the setting. They were having this baby contest between Rachel and Leah to get the attention of Jacob and to get his love and all this stuff. And so that's where we come to verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place. Into my own country. He says, look, I've been working 14 years. I've now completed my responsibility before you, and we're ready to leave. It's time to move on. But now Laban wants to keep him because he knows a good employee when he has one. Notice verse 26. He says, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service, which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please stay. You know, would to God that our boss said that to us. Wouldn't that be great? Hey, I may be looking for another job. Oh, man, please stay. You know, please, you know, just let me, whatever, you know, I'll raise your salary. Whatever you need, I'll do it. Now that, you know, when that happens, he's either desperate or you've got a great testimony. And hopefully it's because you have a great testimony. Jacob had a great testimony in his work ethic. And so he says, look, please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, note this, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. In other words, just because you're around, God is blessing my business. Please don't leave. What a great testimony. It's better than your boss saying, you know what, since you've been here, all you've been is a problem. You know, and you're just, you know, it's like, no, since you've been here, I've been blessed. And I recognize that I'm being blessed because of you. Now, why is this exciting? Not just because he was a good employee, but because in addition, and even greater than this, Laban, we're going to see from the scriptures, was unsaved. even in this passage, we're going to see that Laban refers to witchcraft in his life. Later on, we'll see Rachel still as household gods. He was an unbelieving man. And what's my point in that? See, not only was he doing good work, he was also being a good testimony. And I believe that our work can be a good testimony. I'm not saying we hide our faith. We're very open. We're very vocal about it. But even without standing around all day and trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, if they know we stand with Christ and they see our work ethic, that will draw them to Christ. And so we use that as well. Yes, we speak out in the workplace. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. We do need to share our faith everywhere we go, but not at the expense of doing the job that we're hired to do. And simply by his work ethic, he says, I can tell that the Lord's with you. God is blessing you for my sake. Now, I talked about showing the witchcraft aspect here. There's an interesting meaning here when he says, I've learned by experience. It really means literally, I've learned by divination. And that word is what we would call today basically witchcraft or spiritism. We might say today, I've learned by the tarot cards. I've learned by the psychic hotline, or I've learned by the, you know, the whatever it might be. I've learned by experience that you indeed are a blessing to my business. And although the motivation and the mindset was wrong on Laban, it wasn't because of Laban's insight and his gods. It was God blessing Jacob. He still could see this. And so this is important here as a testimony to the unsaved. And again, remember, it's not only our verbal witness that brings people to Christ, it's our physical and lifestyle witness. Let me ask you this, believer, do you show up 5 minutes late and leave 5 minutes early? Oh, come on, Pastor Mark, that's only 10 minutes. Listen, it's not the matter of the minutes, it's a matter of the testimony. You see, if everyone else is showing up late and leaving early or watching the clock and you're not, you're going to stand out. Man, that guy is on time every single day. And you know what? He's always here through a full work day. There's something about him. What is it with this guy? And I'll guarantee you, if you live that way, this guy or this gal, somebody's going to ask you one day, where did you get this kind of work ethic? You know, it's really, it's kind of hard, you know, having your father-in-law coming from a generation that had an incredibly great work ethic. My father-in-law is one of the hardest working men I've ever seen in my life. He can do more in a day than, literally, he can do so much in a day, it seems like it would take me a week to do that. And I've still not yet figured out how he does it, other than he doesn't waste time. And I've watched that, and I've tried to learn from that. He gets up, he gets going, and he's diligent. He watches his time closely. So when we think about 5 minutes late, 5 minutes early, whatever the case might be, it's amazing what can happen in 5 minutes. It's amazing the diligence. And it's also hard being married to a wife who grew up with a dad like that, because there are high expectations that are not always met. But you know what? God has used that to grow me and stretch me. And to say, you know what, Mark, you can get a lot more done if you managed your time, if you watched what you were doing. And sometimes I think it'd be good for us to sit back and say, where am I spending my time and how much of my time am I really wasting? It's amazing what 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there can do in a work day. Jacob understood that, and Jacob was applying it here. And again, it was very evident to his boss. Notice he says, name your wages and I'll give it. Now, that's a great thing you want to hear from your boss, isn't it? And again, why was his boss saying that? Because he saw the diligence and the work ethic in this man's life.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis, the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.